సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణి జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాసాది గౌరభక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే కృష్ణ. సో థ్యాంక్ యూ ఆల్ వెరీ మచ్ ఫర్ జాయినింగ్ టుడేస్ సెషన్. సో వీ హ్యావ్ బీన్ డిస్కసింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద బుక్ భక్త్యా లోక బై శ్రీల భక్తి వినోద్ ఠాకూర్, విచ్ ఇస్ అ కలెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ఎస్సేస్ ఆన్ ది సిక్స్ ఫేవరబుల్ అండ్ సిక్స్ అన్ఫేవరబుల్ ఐటమ్స్ ఫర్ భక్తి యాజ్ మెన్షన్ ఇన్ ది నెక్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్. సో ఇన్ దాట్ వీ హ్యావ్ ఆల్రెడీ డిస్కస్డ్ త్రీ ఎస్సేస్, అత్యాహార, ప్రయాస అండ్ ప్రజల, అండ్ కరెంట్లీ వీ హ్యావ్ బీన్ డిస్కసింగ్ అబౌట్ నియమాగ్రహ. సో before we start today's discussion, I will request Radha Pramod Prabhu to start sharing the overview of what we saw last week, and then we will continue there. Over to you, Prabhu.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Melitam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. We are discussing the fourth essay from Bhaktya Loka, which is title Niyamagraha. So Niyamagraha, this word is understood as Niyama plus Agraha, Niyama plus Agraha. So Niyama plus Agraha is to reject the rules whimsically, thinking that I am beyond the rules. The example is of Sahajiyas. And when it comes to Niyama plus Agraha, that is to get absorbed only in the rules and not the essence. That means forgetting the purpose of the rules. So in the niyamas, there are vidish and nisheda. So first we, so in these two categories, so we'll be discussing about the rules, and there are do's, there are prescriptions, and there are don'ts, nishedas. Now, based on the position of a person, he has different rules at different positions. So the conditions show he can attain the any exalted position from very low position. From low, he can go to exalted position. But he should also understand between these two positions, there are many other positions like this. And each position is a gradual step, and each gradual step has different do's and don'ts. So when we understand them properly, then we'll not go to any extreme, either doing over or under like that. And we'll also know the purpose also very clearly. So like advancement, if one follows the niyamas of one step, he attains the higher step. And there is a degradation. If one does not follow the niyamas of the particular step, he is in the, and tries to follow the niyamas of a higher step, he falls down to a lower step. For example, say someone at the level 2, he must follow the do's and don'ts at the level 2. If he does, after some time he get advanced to level 3. But if he ignores the rules of the level 2 and instead try to follow level 3, he may get degraded to level 1. So Svesve Adhikare Yanishta Sa Guna Parikirtita Viparayastu Tad Doshat Ubhayor Esha Nischaya. So this is steadiness in one's own position is declared to be actual piety, whereas deviation from one's position is considered impiety. So people who want to understand piety, this is a very nice definition, like rules of one's own level, one's own prescribed duties, that is steadiness in one's own position, following properly one's prescribed duties, acting according to one's adhikar. So that's actually glorious. So match between qualification and appropriate prescription, that is glorious act, and acting according to one's adhikar. Example, someone at the level 2 follows the rules at level 2. And inglorious acts are like there is mismatch between qualification and appropriate prescriptions. Inglorious act are someone at the level 2 continues to follow the rules of level 1 and tries to follow the either level 1 or level 3. Both are problem. So here we have examples of Sakam Karma Yogi. He should next go to the rules of Nishkam Karma. He should not directly jump for Jnana Yoga because his material vasanas are not yet completely cleansed. सो यू कैनॉट गो फॉर ज्ञान योगा, ही हैज टू फर्स्ट गो टू निष्काम कर्म योगा देन ज्ञान योगा इन दैट वे. सिमिलरली समबडी हु इज एट द लेवल ऑफ श्रद्धा इज डूइंग वैदिक साधना भक्ति, ही शुड नॉट इमीडिएटली जंप टू रागानुगा. ओनली वेन ही इज एट द आफ्टर निष्ठा स्टेज देन ही कैन स्टार्ट फॉलोइंग द रागानुगा भक्ति. ही कैनॉट डायरेक्टली जंप फ्रॉम वैदिक टू रागानुगा विदाउट क्रॉसिंग ऑल द लेवल्स. देन देर आर निष्ठा, रुचि, आसक्ति, भाव एंड प्रेमा. सो देर आर डिफरेंट लेवल्स एंड बेस्ड ऑन द लेवल देर आर डिफरेंट थिंग्स. सो एंड लास्ट वीक वी डिस्कस्ड सेम थिंग दैट सम मेटेरियल ऑब्जेक्ट्स, मेटेरियल थिंग्स, बट थ्री डिफरेंट एक्शंस फॉर थ्री सेट्स. सो डिफरेंट पीपल आर गिवेन डिफरेंट इंस्ट्रक्शंस. सो बिकॉज पीपल ऑफ ईच ऑफ दिस थ्री कैटेगरी हैव डिफरेंट अधिकार्स, सो हियर वी आर टेकिंग थ्री अधिकारी पीपल. सो देर आर प्रिस्क्रिप्शंस एंड वॉट इज अधिकार. सो फर्स्ट इज कर्म, देन ज्ञान एंड भक्तस. सो फॉर कर्मीज हु आर कर्म अधिकारी, द प्रिस्क्रिप्शन इज दिस इज गुड, दिस इज बैड. सो द प्रिस्क्रिप्शन फॉर पीपल हु हैव कर्म अधिकारी एंड आर इंक्लाइन टुवर्ड्स मेटीरियल एंजॉयमेंट, सो फॉर देम दिस प्रिस्क्रिप्शन इज गिवन, दिस इज गुड, दिस इज बैड. नाउ समबडी हु इज हैविंग ज्ञान अधिकारी, सो फॉर देम वॉट वी गिव, स्टॉप सीइंग गुड एंड बैड विथ रेस्पेक्ट टू मेटीरियल थिंग्स. सो वी टेल देम यू शुड कम फ्रॉम दिस ड्यूएलिटी, राग द्वेष विमुक्त. सो द प्रिस्क्रिप्शन फॉर पीपल हु वॉन्ट टू ट्रांसेंड दिस मेटीरियल वर्ल्ड एंड देयर हार्ट्स आर प्यूरिफाइड ऑफ द टेंडेंसी टू एंजॉय मैटर, सो दे हैव दिस ज्ञान लेवल. सो वॉट इज द प्रिस्क्रिप्शन? डोंट सी गुड एंड बैड इन रेस्पेक्ट टू मेटीरियल थिंग्स. नाउ वेन इट कम्स टू डिवोटीज, द डिवोटी, द भक्ति अधिकारी, फॉर देम स्टार्ट सीइंग एवरीथिंग इन कनेक्शन टू कृष्णा एंड स्टार्ट यूटिलाइजिंग एवरीथिंग इन कृष्णा सर्विस. सो दिस इज द प्रिस्क्रिप्शन दैट इज गिवेन वन हु इज एलिजिबल फॉर प्रैक्टिसिंग प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस. सो नाउ एन ऑथराइज एग्जाम्पल इज गिवेन एन ऑथराइज आयुर्वेदिक डॉक्टर. ही प्रिस्क्राइब शुगर केन जूस एंड शुगर कैंडी टू अ जॉन्डिस पेशेंट एंड ही प्रिस्क्राइब्स अ वेरी बिटर मेडिसिन फॉर अ पेशेंट विथ अ फीवर. नाउ ऑथराइज डॉक्टर ऑथराइज प्रिस्क्रिप्शन बट डिफरेंट प्रिस्क्रिप्शन फॉर डिफरेंट पेशेंट बेस्ड ऑन द डिसीज ही इज हैविंग. देयरफॉर devotee should accept the rules of bhakti and not the rules of jnana, karma or jnana. A devotee who has not no qualification, not qualified himself for raganuga bhakti should continue to follow rules of vaidhi sadhana. Then we discuss two examples of Lord Ram punishing a shudra who is trying to pretend, and there is also Prahlad Maharaj with Pitavasa who try to come as a guise of a sadhu. But he is having some bow and arrow. He said, "I am going to punish you or defeat you." And then Lord, he fights with the Lord, and the Lord reveals himself. So in this stories, what we understand is that the Lord is trying to punish them because they'll get purified. Otherwise, because they are not in that adhikar, and if they are following, they are actually accumulating more and more bad karma. So that's the reason. So that's why that heavy step is taken, not out of envy, to protect them from getting more degraded. Similarly, the prescribed and prohibited rules, niyamas. So now in this niyamas, there are constitutional rules and condition rules. So constitutional rule for every living entity is prema is the only prescription, and giving up only envy is the only prohibition. So you have to give up envy, prema. This is for the soul. This is a constitutional. But now we are in a conditional stage. So the conditional rules are, so bona fide false designations are given. What is, because a conditioned state, we have to come out of this condition. So we need to take some designations. What are they? Okay, you have varnashrama. You are a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. So you give them certain condition. And there are non-bona fide false designation like Indian, American, teacher, student. So some things like that, you are particular caste, you are particular creed. So all these things are false designations, black, white, I don't know, you are certain lower caste, upper caste, what is. So this is what is about Niyamas. And further, There are karmadhikaris and there are certain prescriptions, certain prohibitions. If a karmadhikari, what are the rules? Rules of varnashrama, 10 types of sanskaras, and regulative prayers. So, and these are prescriptions. What are the prohibitions? This is sins, these are bad habits. So, you should do these things, you should not do these things. This is papa, punya, like that. So, and then there are jnanadhikaris. Jnanadhikaris, the prescriptions are sannyas, renunciation, detachment, and discussing the difference between merit and spirit, naiti, 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 like that. And they have certain prohibitions. What is that? Fruitive activities, you have to keep distance from them. There are forbidden activities and the attachments for sense gratification and all these things. There are certain prohibitions are given for them. And similarly, for bhaktadhikaris, there are prescriptions. What is that? We should be indifferent to jnana, karma, and yoga. Don't go near jnana, karma, yoga. Don't mix your bhakti with all these, no, sand particles and all. And performance of activities favorable to devotion. So there is Navavidha Bhakti, 64 limbs of devotional service, 6 limbs of surrender. So these are the prescriptions. And what are the prohibitions? All activities opposed to the Lord, which is pratikul to bhakti. And attachment to sense gratification is also prohibition. Conclusions opposed to devotional service. So such things we should be careful. And renunciation as practiced by jnana yogis. So such dry renunciation also one should give up. So this is a prohibition. And then it's last, then we discuss about sanskaras. Are they relevant? So for the path of karma, yeah, sanskaras are mandatory because they fix the false ego of the person. So once the false ego is fixed, a person starts identifying with that designation and starts following the prescriptions and prohibitions of that designation. So it will help him to elevate himself. Example, identify oneself as a Brahmana. So he follows the rules and regulations for the Brahmana. So the fixing of false ego is making the living entity subservient to some rules, and following those rules, one can transcend the false ego and come to the level of Jnana Yogi, where he understands he is a soul and not the body. So path of bhakti, there are devotional activity that fixes the true ego directly. Jivera Swarupai Krishnera Nityada. So that path of bhakti, direct designation we are given that I am servant of Krishna. And samskaras are not mandatory for sadhakas, but we can do basic samskaras for the children because we will not know if the child is a devotee or not. So for children, that should be done because if he is not devotee, then it will be a problem for him. If samskaras are also not done and he is also not devotee, he'll end up nowhere. So some of the samskaras can be adopted in devotional way, like Garbhadhana samskara. And in Garbhadhana samskara, we can chant rounds, read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, etc. This activity directly aim at fixing the true ego of the child. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, bro. Wonderful. So I don't think I have a need to recap anything, but we can certainly pause for some discussion or questions based on what we discussed last week and summarized today. So if there are any quick discussion point questions, we can take. Ruchi Mataji. Mataji, your voice breaking. Your voice is breaking, Mataji. I think your signal is not clear. No, your signal is not clear, Mataji. We are not able to hear you properly.
Am I audible, Prabhuji? Am I audible now?
Little better.
Yeah. Am I audible now, Prabhuji?
Breaking, Mataji, your voice breaking. Your internet is poor, I guess.
I will
You can type.
type.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else anyone would like to share as add based on what we discussed last week? Okay. If there is none, then I think we'll continue our discussion on Niyamagraha. So we have been discussing, as we saw in the discussion, there are There are prescriptions and prohibitions, vidhis and nishedhas. Essential point is, whatever position one is in, one should have a means of understanding one's adhikar. And once one understands one's adhikar, then one should know what are the prescriptions and prohibitions according to that adhikar, and one should only follow that and nothing else. Right? So, then, so he says each and every gradual step has different prescriptions and prohibitions, we saw that, right? So if you follow that, then you progress to the next. If you don't follow, then you will actually go down to a lower qualification. Therefore, then we saw sve sve adhikare yanishta saguna parikirtita. You know, there should be a match between qualification and prescription. You have to follow what is prescribed for you according to your adhikar, and no one else's adhikar should be followed. Right? We saw this. Okay. So, and then we saw that prescriptions and prohibitions are divided into conditional and constitutional. Okay. The prescriptions and prohibitions in constitutional position are the constitutional rules. Okay, constitutional state, the prescription is prema and the prohibition is envy. So constitutional state means when one has bhakti adhikar, because bhakti is the constitutional activity of the soul. So therefore, if one has bhakti adhikar, the prescription is whatever takes one towards prema, that is prescribed, and envy is prohibited. Okay. But in the conditioned state, then there are different levels. One can be at the level of sakama karma or nishkama karma or jnana or yoga or bhakti, depending on that, you know, different prescriptions are there. Okay. So we saw according to the Vedas, Bhagavad Gita, and all the Stutis, the three principal divisions are karma, jnana, and bhakti. So for each of these divisions, we saw prescriptions and prohibitions, right? For those who have karma adhikar, we saw rules of varnashrama, the 10 types of samskaras and regulative prayers are prescriptions for karma adhikar. We saw this. So the dashavida samskaras are prescribed for karma adhikar and not for bhakti adhikar. So people may keep speaking about samskaras, but we should clearly understand what is the role of samskara. The role of samskara is to fix the false ego. So, to fix the false ego so that the false ego can subsequently be transcended. It is a gradual process, right? But bhakti gives a direct means of fixing the true ego. So therefore, there is no role of samskaras in bhakti unless that samskara is is a version that is adapted for devotees. Like we saw the example of Garbhadana samskara. So in Garbhadana samskara, you know, it is, you know, the devotees chant extra rounds and, you know, study Bhagavatam for long hours, Krishna book, so that the child's true ego gets reinforced. You know, we are not, even though that adapted version of Garbhadana Samskara as performed by devotees is not the actual Garbhadana Samskara, which fixes the false ego of the living entity. So then we saw in Jnana division also, sannyas, renunciation, detachment, discussing the difference between matter and spirit. These are all do's, prescriptions. And fruitive activities, forbidden activities, attachment to sense enjoyment, these are all prohibited. Okay. And for bhakti, we saw indifference to karma, jnana, and yoga, anukulyasya sankalpo, performance of activities favorable for devotion, right? Cultivating devotional service with the help of those prescriptions and prohibitions, etc., are prescribed. And activities opposed to jnana, the kind of dry renunciation as practiced by the jnanis, attachment to sense enjoyment, and accepting conclusions opposed to devotional service in the name of Vedic. Many times in today's day and age, this has become a fashion amongst devotees also, where in the name of Vedic, people start accepting many things which are actually opposed to the conclusions of devotional service. Right? So, giving up actions is prohibited. One should not stop actions completely. Right? So, therefore, we saw devotional activities fix the true ego of the jiva. But in the path of karma, the samskara speaks the false ego of the jiva. When his false ego is fixed, okay, then he feels, I am a brahmana, I am a brahmachari, like that. When he gets a clear false ego, then he will be willing to ask the question, so what is my duty? What are my duties according to the shastras? So, in that way, he will start following certain duties. He will start accepting the guidance of the scriptures. But if there is no fixing of false ego, then he will try to live a whimsical life. So, therefore, this fixing of false ego is critical for a person who does not have faith in pure devotional service. So, such people can gradually progress. And in that way, they can accept or embrace a gradual path of transcending the false ego. But for one who has developed faith in the path of bhakti, then for such people, from the beginning only, there is acceptance of true ego, and the activities of bhakti nourish the true ego. So why is there a need for samskaras which will unnecessarily nourish the false ego of the living entity? So therefore, at least the samskaras as followed in the traditional society for those with karma adhikar, that is certainly unfavorable for bhakti. But in an adapted way, there are some samskaras which are favorable, like for example, vivaha samskara. These are like favorable. And all the samskaras, if they are adapted in a slightly Krishna conscious way, in a way that it does not nourish our false ego or fix our false ego, we can accept. But if we accept those samskaras as it is, then there will be a conflict, because our devotional activities and devotional philosophy is trying to fix our true ego, whereas the samskaras are trying to fix our false ego. On one side, the samskaras will say, you are a brahmana, but your pure devotional philosophy will say, naham vipro na chanarapati napi vaishyo na shudro. You are not a brahmana, you are not a kshatriya, vaishya or shudra. Then this conflict, how are we going to deal with? So there are certain adaptations of these samskaras in a way that it will nourish the true ego of the living entity. You know, there are books like Satkriya Saradipika, which have been written by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, in which some of the adapted versions of these samskaras are mentioned. They can be accepted. They can be accepted, but it is not absolutely mandatory, because the activities of devotional service in themselves will nourish the true ego. So this is where we paused our discussion last week. Before we move ahead, if there are any quick discussion points, questions we can take. There is one in the chat box. In the meantime, if others would like to raise your hands, you can also raise your hand. So, how does ब्राह्मणा फॉलोइंग हिज संस्कार गेट प्रमोटेड फ्रॉम कर्म टू ज्ञान अधिकार. ओ दिस इज अ वेरी गुड क्वेश्चन. सो अ ब्राह्मणा फॉलोइंग बिकॉज दी संस्कारस आर डिजाइंड इन दैट वे. सो ब्राह्मणा परफॉर्मिंग हिज संस्कारस दिस पर्टिकुलर द संस्कारस नॉट ओनली फिक्स दी फॉल्स ईगो बट द वे दे आर डिजाइंड ओवर अ पीरियड ऑफ टाइम दी बाई फॉलोइंग द रूल्स एंड प्रेस्क्रिप्शंस ऑफ यू नो ब्राह्मणा बाई फॉलोइंग द रूल्स एंड प्रेस्क्रिप्शंस ऑफ हिस वर्ण एंड आश्रमा विल ग्रेजुअली बिकम डिटैच एंड वेन ही बिकम्स डिटैच देन ही बिकम्स क्वालिफाइड फॉर ज्ञान इन दैट वे इट एक्चुअली एनहेंसेस. हाउ कैन सेकेंड क्वेश्चन हाउ कैन संस्कारस नरिश द ट्रू ईगो. नहीं आई सेड संस्कारस विच वेन दे आर अडेप्टेड इन अ डिवोशनल वे दे कैन नरिश द ट्रू ईगो. ओके सो बट द ट्रेडिशनल संस्कारस एज इट इज वेन एक्सेप्टेड विल ओनली नरिश द फॉल्स फॉल्स ईगो. बट लाइक फॉर वी सॉ द एग्जाम्पल ऑफ गर्भाधान संस्कार. सो गर्भाधान संस्कार वेन द मदर एंड फादर आर सिटिंग टुगेदर एंड चैंटिंग 64 राउंड और 50 राउंड एंड रीडिंग भागवतम कंटिन्यूअसली देन इवन दो दिस इज नॉट द ट्रेडिशनल गर्भाधान संस्कार बट दिस अडेप्टेड वर्जन ऑफ गर्भाधान संस्कार विल सर्टनली फिक्स दी ट्रू ईगो ऑफ द लिविंग एंटिटी in some way. Okay, there is another question here. Devotees argue because Gopal Bhatta Goswami gave many samskaras we should follow. Okay. Yeah. So we can follow the adapted devotional adaptations of these samskaras but not follow them as it is. There is another question here in the chat box. How can we as devotees adopt astrology for fixing marriage matches in the Krishna conscious way? Yeah, that can be accepted because even though the I will just touch this point. So an astrological chart predicts two things or predicts based on two things. One is Hare Krishna, I am sorry, I had some internet issues. So now it has been fixed. Can you hear my voice? Am I audible? Okay, yes, thank you. So I was discussing, we were discussing about astrology. I will just share my screen. Okay. So I was discussing that an astrological chart predicts based on one's karma and swabhava. Swabhava means one's nature. While as soon as one takes up to divorce service, karma gets immediately destroyed. But the swabhava purification, so the purification of swabhava is only very gradual. Is gradual. So during matchmaking, you can utilize, because what they do in marriage making is they check the swabhava of the two charts, S1, S2. And if there is too much mismatch, then you know, a lot of time will go in disagreements and resolving disagreements, or fighting for the disagreements and all that. So which will consume lot of you know, useful time. But if this is not there, if there is a reasonably good match of the swabhava, then there is fairly good cooperation, which will save a lot of potential time for Krishna conscious activities. So in that sense, yes, for marriage purposes, matching of you know, looking at astrological charts is reasonably good. That's what I would say. Okay, there is a question here. When you mean karma gets destroyed, do you mean prarabdha and aprarabdha? Yes, prarabdha and aprarabdha gets destroyed, but avidya, then bijam, sinful impressions and sinful desires, they take a long time to get purified, but the karma, the reactions, they get destroyed immediately. Yeah. Okay, so if there are no further questions, we will give the GST seconds. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I had a question, but just now, the last line you said, I missed. What will take a long time and what will not take a long time? Just now you
karma
said.
Karma is destroyed immediately, but the purification of our nature, that is very gradual.
Yes, when we take up the bhakti process, karma is destroyed immediately?
Yeah.
But for karma to be destroyed immediately, isn't initiation required?
It is required. Of course, initiation, it depends on how we define initiation. I mean, initiation is not just for destroying karma.
Oh, no.
Initiation
no.
is definitely needed for progress on the path of devotional service. Initiation is very much needed. So, but the destruction of karma is from the very beginning of one's accepting the path of devotional service.
Yeah, so if we define initiation, let's say, as one's commitment in the heart to, you know, Shiksha Guru, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We can consider that a type of initiation, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's not like
but...
there's no formal ceremony, but the essence of initiation is completed if one accepts the authority of some Shiksha Guru.
Yeah. Well, and as far as I will add one clause to it, and provided one is not averse to accepting initiation.
Oh, yeah.
Diksha also.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So the,
you may not have become, you may not have chosen your spiritual master, and you may not have necessarily become qualified for the institutional rules for initiation. But still, if in principle you have decided that I would definitely want to accept a spiritual master and accept Diksha from that spiritual master, then that is good enough.
And that will eradicate all your karma accumulated thus far.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Very nice. My actual question, though, was I just needed to confirm my understanding about samskaras for those who are qualified for karma, I guess, karma yoga or?
Yeah.
So when we say that their false ego is fixed, that means that if you are of, maybe you were born in a family where there is Brahmana qualification or a Kshatriya qualification. When you take birth, you will, somehow that samskara ceremony that will engender in you some
similar taste. Yeah.
And some kind of, you will have a sense of, you'll like a sense of being Kshatriya or Brahmana or whatever.
Yeah. And it will create a type of responsibility in a particular direction. You will feel responsible for fulfilling. See, because with a designation will come the concomitant duties and responsibilities. So if there is no clear designation, there are no clear duties. And if there are no clear duties, then there is no to become subservient to the teachings of the scriptures. So, so therefore, if there is a clear-cut designation, then there are clear-cut rules, and then would require that you surrender in a very specific way to the teachings of the scriptures. So this will actually pull you, this will actually bring in some level of subservience to higher authority and scriptures, and gradually then scriptures will elevate person.
So elevate us means, let's say you were born in a Vaishya family, right? By following the duties of a Vaishya, somehow or other, what you will gradually come up to Kshatriya and then Brahmana, like that?
Well, that may not be in the same life. That is still, in one sense, elevation of false ego. I am talking about elevation from false ego to true ego.
Okay.
So that is just, it's just changing the flavor of false ego. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about one can actually slowly will start becoming detached from the false ego and start progressing towards acquiring a true ego. So, and if such a person at any time during this quest, if someone's in touch with a pure devotee and gets some Ajnata Sukriti and eventually develops pure devotional faith, then immediately he gets a true ego, but which is in a very weak, unnourished position by practice of the limbs of devotional service. Gradually the true ego gets nourishment, and eventually perfection of that state is Krishna Prema.
And did you say that there was any samskara for Jnana Yogis? Or not?
There may be some. I don't know if called as samskaras, but I think their own study of the shastras and their practices will reinforce their, because by the time of by that you are qualified for Jnana Yoga, your false ego is gone. And a sort of partial manifestation of true ego is starting. So the activities of Jnana Yoga will nourish that partial true ego, which is, I am not this body, I am the soul, and I am qualitatively one with the Lord. That aspect of partial awakening, the partially awakened form of the true ego will nourish through the activities of Jnana Yoga.
Mm-hmm. Very nice, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Okay, so there is something more in the chat box. Performing final rites of someone comes under only pure karmakanda? If yes, then how can we understand Narsingadev's instructions to Prahlad Raj? Well, I mean, I don't know what exactly, I cannot recollect exactly what was Narsingadev's instructions to Prahlad Maharaj. But we have to understand Prahlad Maharaj did play dual roles. He was a devotee and he also had the responsibility as a king to set the right example for his citizens who were probably... Well, most of them would be on the category of karma only. So even though I don't exactly recollect what all were the instructions given by Narsingadev to Prahlad Maharaj, I can say that some of those instructions may be to set the right example for his citizens. Okay. So a king has that responsibility also. And having said that, the Shraddha rites come purely under karmakanda? Well, it can, and there are adapted versions for Vaishnavas to follow also, where you know, it's a very simplified version where there is Vishnu Prasad offered to the pits or the departed souls that way. So otherwise, our very practice of devotional service in itself is benefiting the Pitrus in a very much more profound way than what actually a Shraddha can do. A Shraddha ceremony cannot elevate the Pitrus to the spiritual world for sure. And it cannot even give them any Ajnata Sukriti. So in one sense, whatever a Shraddha ceremony can give them is some material piety type, but they can keep enjoying. But our performance of devotional service can actually spiritually elevate them. So in that sense, there are devotional adaptations of the Shraddha ceremony also, which are followed in many of the sampradayas and in Satkriya Saradipika. Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami discusses about them also. So then, isn't it depends on our surrender? I think this question is for destruction of karma. Yeah, karma is destroyed instantly, but depending on our surrender, to that extent, we will progress on the path of devotional service. But the moment we take up to devotional service, karma is gone. But does not mean that we will not suffer. But just that the suffering will not come through the agency of karma, but suffering will come through Krishna if we don't follow the things properly. Okay, there is a question here. As I started practicing Krishna consciousness in my midlife, other family members did not object, but they do not practice also. So can we explain this incompatibilities based on swabhava matching via astrology? No, their non-acceptance of devotional service has nothing to do with their swabhava at all. And your acceptance of devotional service has nothing to do with your swabhava at all. It's a whole different equation. But if you are talking about other incompatibilities, maybe an astrological chart can say anywhere how is it going to change. I mean, you are not definitely going to change your family members just because the astrological chart shows some incompatibilities. So, but our acceptance and their non-acceptance of bhakti has nothing to do with our swabhava or our acquired material impressions. That does not induce a person or discourage a person from accepting or rejecting bhakti. So, that has nothing to do with swabhava. Okay, anyway, are there any final comments before we move ahead to today's discussion? So this is definitely, Niyamagraha is one of the sections where there will be a lot of questions, because this is a very critical problem where an understanding of one's adhikar is very critical. And this adhikar is always a confusing thing. How do you understand what my adhikar is? How do I understand what my qualification is? Is there a means to evaluate my current position? Is there a means to evaluate my progress? These are all very confusing things. So therefore, there will definitely be a lot of questions in this particular essay where we are discussing about Niyamagraha. That's why it's taking time. It's okay. Yeah, bhakti itself is the cause of bhakti. Yes, bhakti itself is the cause of bhakti. There is no, it is a whole different thing. Our material swabhava has nothing to do with our acceptance or rejection of bhakti. Anyways, next, we will continue now. Okay, Nithai Mata Mataji has raised her hands. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Am I audible, Prabhu?
Yeah, you are.
Prabhu, wanted to ask Prabhu, okay, I'm married for some time, for a long time, but still coming, even the both husband and wife coming to devotion service, coming to path of bhakti, but still there will be differences because total different conditioning.
Yeah.
So what is the best that we can, as you really touched my heart, saying a lot of if you're not really compatible and if you have not seen the horoscopes at the time of getting married, you will be wasting a lot of time explaining even in devotional service things, you know. And so mm-hmm. What is the best way that you can serve the Lord in 100% basically, at least try to be 100%. We will never be able to do 100% without the Lord's mercy. What is the best way? What is the suggestion that you have, Prabhu? Thank you.
Suggestion for what, Mataji?
To move forward, like you will be having difficulty.
You mean you have already got married and you do see some incompatibilities, but yes. Both are devotees. So how do you move forward? Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah. So, the point is, there are two things in a, whether we are here talking about two personalities, but even in, it not be two, it may be just one son. This is not the problem with married people. Even with unmarried practitioner, there is always a tug of war. The tug of war is between our faith, our pure devotional faith, and our non-devotional condition. Right? This tug of war is always there. Okay? Just that with marriage, there is another pure devotional faith and a more non-devotional conditioning. Right? And it is not just one tug of war. It may be the tug of war may happen between this also. You know? So it's like, we have faith pulling in this direction, we have our conditioning pulling in this direction, and we have the incompatibility between the partners which is pulling in another direction. So
add something there. I want to say, even we want to perform some devotional activity like devotional service, okay, you are cooking. You say, no, we will cook this. I said, oh, I thought we are going to cook this. Even you're offering, oh, I want to offer this to the Lord, and I want to offer this to the Lord. It comes, this is my. These small things, I really do not, I think these are not good, because these are attached to us. So I just wanted to understand how to get out of these.
Yeah, first thing that we need to understand is to get out of this is not an event, but it is a process.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it does not happen with our decision that I will get out of it and we will get out of it. It's not like that. So the thing is, to the extent these two personalities, person one and person two, are committed nourishing their pure devotional faith. They are watering it properly, and this faith increasing and increasing and increasing, and for this person also it's increasing and increasing and increasing. Then in this tug of war, if faith is increasing, if this collective faith is increasing, then the ability to pull this and this is very powerful. This can be pulled by this faith. So therefore, there is no other solution to this than to increase our commitment to
service.
Nourishing, to serve, nourish our faith. We should say that, we should see that and the symptom of that faith is anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya janam. We will be very committed to doing things which are favorable for our Krishna consciousness, and very committed to rejecting things which are unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. And we see, whenever there was a conflict based on the choice and conditions, it took a lot of our time away from Krishna consciousness. So the next time when such a thing comes, I will say, yes, let's have it your way. Yeah. And in that way, I will get so much more time for my Krishna consciousness, and he or she will get so much more time for his or Krishna consciousness. That way we will improve. That's all.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. I'm so grateful that I was thinking and you confirmed. I think this is Lord's mercy coming through you. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Okay. There are so many more questions. So after starting bhakti, are the sinful reactions to past karmas eradicated? Yes. Even if we try to serve wholeheartedly at least five important limbs of bhakti, others think we are mad. Well, then we have to be... others will keep thinking something about us all the time. We have to be sensitive to their understanding and their value system also, and maybe do certain things not so explicitly to unnecessarily agitate those people. A lot of things we can do internally like that. Of course, this is a complex subject matter. This is not the forum to discuss that in detail. Okay, so I think we should you should continue. Okay. So here, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur continues. When the conditioned soul advances by giving up his illicit activities or low-class character, then he attains the level of karmakanda. So karmakanda means, it's the conditioned soul that we all are. Right? But before getting any kind of value system, whether it is karmakandi or jnanakandi or bhakti value system, there is only inclination to engage in illicit activities in a very whimsical way. What I like, I will do. Whatever I don't like, I will do. you know, I will not do. You know, that is our kind of whimsical mentality. Whimsically, we want to accept and reject things. This is our mentality, right? But when the conditioned soul advances by giving up his illicit activities or low character, and then he attains the level of karmakanda. So where he's willing to accept some instructions from the shastras for enjoying in this material world, then he is qualified for karmakanda. Such a person should remain in varnam dharma and aspire to attain the level of jnana. So one who is a karma, so he is at the level of karma, then what he should do? Engage in varnashram activities and then gradually aspire for jnana. So then he will come to the path of jnana. Right? So this is his duty. He should remain in varnashram until he attains detachment from material activities by discussing the difference between matter and spirit and analyzing the nature of false ego. Otherwise, he becomes sinful. So which means, unless he becomes detached, totally detached from material activities, by discussing the difference between matter and soul and analyzing the nature of false ego, till then, he should not give up his varnashram activities. Because if false ego is not gone, okay, then varnashram duties should not be given up. This is very clear. So, varnashram can be given up under two circumstances. Varnashram duties. The verse that talks about it is Tavat Karmani Kurvita na Nirvidyata Yavata. This is the verse. Tavat Karmani Kurvita na Nirvidyata Yavata Matkata Shravanagva Shraddha Yavana Jayate. Tavat Karmani Kurvita, which means one should perform varnashram duties till when? Till when is na nirvidyeta yavata, as long as one has not developed, as long as one has not developed detachment from material world. This is the qualification for jnana. The qualification for jnana is one develops detachment from this material world. If he has developed this, he can give up. So as long as one has not developed detachment from this material world, one should perform varnashram duties. Matkata shravana va shraddha. Okay. This is faith in the process of bhakti. Okay. This is the qualification for bhakti. So, varnashram should be followed till one develops either qualification for jnana, which is detachment from this world, or faith in the process of bhakti, which is the qualification for bhakti. So, if one is qualified for bhakti or if one becomes qualified for jnana, under these two circumstances, one can give up. Varnashram duties. Otherwise, one should not. Okay, that's what he is telling here. Okay. So, when the detachment is attained, then his higher qualification destroys his attachment to fruitive activities. So, at the higher qualification, he is materially detached, means he is materially detached from his material false ego also. So when he is detached from material false ego, then the varnashram deeds, which are meant for detaching him from his material false ego, there is no utility for that. There is no utility for that. Okay. So one can give it up. But if the person still remains inclined to the rules of karmakanda, then he cannot make advancement. So if even after developing that detachment, if he still is attached to the rules of karmakanda, then this is what kind of niyamagraha? This is niyama agraha. Too much attached to rules of a lower name. You should be willing to give up the lower rules and accept the higher rules. But if one is too much attached to the lower rules, then it is not right. Then it will not help. The ghee of one who has attained the level of Jnanakanda is remain fixed in knowledge. Until he attains a taste for devotional service, he remain under the rules of Jnanakanda. So whether one is in karma or jnana, they should continue these activities unless they develop a taste for bhakti. Taste here means faith. Okay. As soon as the qualification for devotional service manifests, he should give up his attachment for Jnanakanda. Otherwise, he is guilty of Niyamagraha and he will not make advancement. Period. So, which means the prescriptions and prohibitions of karma or jnana should be given up as soon as one accepts bhakti. And as soon as one accepts bhakti, one should immediately accept the prescriptions and prohibitions of bhakti. One should reject the prohibitions of bhakti and perform the prescriptions of bhakti. And one should not be whimsically attached to the prescriptions and prohibitions of karma or jnana. That is the point that is being discussed here. So then we saw this verse, Tavat karmani kurvita na vidyate yavata da shravana dhavva shraddha yavanna jaya. It is not and. It is not that one should be detached from material activities and one should have developed faith in bhakti, only then one can give up varnashram. No, this is not the case. Complete detachment from material world is the qualification for jnana. Faith in bhakti is the qualification for bhakti. So therefore, a Vaidhi sadhaka may have material attachments, but if he has faith in bhakti, then he need not follow varnashram duties. He is not expected to follow varnashram duties. So that is the understanding. Now the question is, what will happen to him if he gives up varnashram duties? Will he progress? Will he not progress? Why he will not progress? He will progress because of his practice of devotional service. Okay. So if the varnashram duties are meant to sort of weaken his false ego slowly, then how will the false ego of a devotee be weakened? By practice of bhakti yoga. Right? Bhakti yoga will purify his heart. Bhakti yoga will nourish his true ego. Bhakti yoga will loosen his mid-designations. And bhakti, the same bhakti yoga will also strengthen his spiritual designation. So therefore, there is no need for the practice of varnashram duties for either loosening his false ego or strengthening his true ego. Both the process of bhakti is capable of doing both these things. Okay. So shraddha or faith is the only qualification for bhakti. So if one has this qualification, faith in bhakti, then one can give up his varnashram obligations. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, tasmat madbhakti yuktasya yogino vai madatmanah na jnanam na cha vairagyam prayashreyo bhavedika. Therefore, for devotee engaged in my loving service, with mind fixed on me, the cultivation of knowledge and renunciation is generally not the means of achieving the highest perfection in this world. He should not think that his means of achieving perfection is either through karma or jnana. He should not think that it is only through bhakti. And he should not even think that, oh, bhakti we will definitely do, but along with bhakti, I need the support of karma and jnana. Even that understanding is totally wrong. Bhakti does not need the support of karma and jnana. This is the fact. Okay. So, okay, there is some questions in the chat box here. How can we understand this at sadhaka level? We are not materially detached yet. That's why I said that detachment is the qualification for jnana. So if one has that qualification for jnana, then he can give. If he does not have, then if he has faith in bhakti, then he can give up. So this is not, this is either or. Either be qualified for jnana, then you can give up. Or you should be qualified for karma, for bhakti, then you can give up. So it's not that, it's not both. Okay. I mean, some of these questions, I don't understand the context. But by following, as and when I am speaking, if you are typing the question in the chat box, then unless you elaborate the question, I cannot understand the concept. So there is a question here. But by following karma and jnana, they will not get faith in devotional service, right? I mean, if I have to answer this specific question, I will say, no, they will not get faith in devotional service. Correct. But I am sure there is more to this question. But because I am not able to relate to the context of this question, I cannot answer it. I can answer to the question. By following karma and jnana, will they get faith in devotional service? Absolutely not. They will not. But if there is something more to this question, I don't know. Maybe, yeah. Okay. Faith in, another question in the chat box. Faith in devotional service is independent of your following or not following karma jnana. Yeah, faith in devotional service has nothing to do with our prior practicing of karma or jnana or anything. No, it has nothing to do with that. It is a whole different thing. Okay. Let's continue. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur continues. The temple of Krishna Prem is situated on the highest peak of Goloka Vrindavan. In order to reach that peak, one has to cross the 14 planetary systems of Karmakanda, the Viraja Brahmaloka of the Jnanakanda, and then rise above Vaikuntha. By gradually giving up attachment to the stages of karma and jnana, one becomes eligible for bhakti. So, attachment to karma and jnana will hamper one's attachment to bhakti and progress in the path of bhakti. That is the fact. After crossing the various stages of bhakti, one reaches the temple door of prema. So there is Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, and then there is Vaikuntha, and then there is Goloka, and on top of Goloka there is Krishna prema. Right? So there is Karmakanda, which is 14 planetary systems. Scope of Karmakanda, then there is Jnanakanda, whose scope is the Brahma Jyoti. Then there is Aishwarya Bhakti. Whose scope is Vaikuntha. Then there is Maurya Bhakti, which is Goloka. And on top of that is Prema. After crossing the various stages of Bhakti, one reaches the temple door of Prema. Shraddha is the only rule for people established on the level of Bhakti. Faith is the only rule. As anarthas or unwanted habits are destroyed by the power of devotional service performed under the shelter of Sadhu and Guru, that Shraddha transforms into devotional service with Nishtha or firm faith. Okay. So there is Shraddha. And then with Sadhu Sangha and Bhajana Kriya, it leads to anarthana vritti. And anarthana vritti leads to nishtha. Nishtha means firm faith, very firm faith. As the anarthas are further destroyed, one progresses from the level of nishtha to ruchi or taste. So ruchi means one develops a positive taste or attachment to the means of devotional service. From ruchi to asakti. Asakti means one develops a positive attachment or taste for serving Krishna. Okay. And from asakti to bhava or emotion. When bhava in the form of prati or affection is mixed with the appropriate ingredients, it becomes rasa. So these ingredients are called as samagri bhavas or ingredients of spiritual emotions. What they are, we will discuss later. This is called vibhav, anubhav, satviki bhav, Sanchari Bhav and Sthai Bhav. You know, there are five ingredients which combine together to form rasa. It's a devotional experience, a spiritual emotional experience is called as rasa, but it has its own ingredients. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, this is a very nice verse. Yata yatatma parimrityate sau mat punya gata shravana vidanehi tatatata pashyati vastu sukshmam chakshur yataivanjana samprayatam. When a diseased eye is treated with medicinal ointment, it gradually recovers its powers to see. Chakshur yata eva jana samprayuktam. Anjana is an ointment. When the diseased eye is treated with a medicinal ointment, then gradually it recovers its power to see. Chakshur yata eva anjana samprayuktam. Tata, in the same way, yata atma parimrujyate sau. When the living entity parimrujyate, it becomes purified, it cleanses itself of material contamination. How the cleansing will happen? Mat punya gata ravana abhidani, by hearing and chanting the pious narrations of my glories. Tata tata pashyati, then he regains his ability to see vastu. He regains his ability to see me, the absolute, sukshmam, in my subtle spiritual form. So, as and when the purification happens by Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anarthana Vritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema, these are various stages of purification. यता यतात्मा परिविज्यते सौ मत्पुण्यगा श्रवणाभिधानैः ततस्तता पश्यति वस्तु सूक्ष्मं चक्षुर यता एव अंजन संप्रयुक्तम्. सो देन ग्रेजुअली वन डेवलप्स द एबिलिटी टू सी द सटलर एंड सटलर एस्पेक्ट्स ऑफ द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ. So therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami clarifies the sequence in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as follows. Adav Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha, Tata Bhajana Kriya, Tato Anartha Nivritti Syat, Tato Nishta, Ruchistataha, Tata Asaktis, Tato Bhavas, Tata Prema Abhyudanchati, Sadhaka Naam Ayam Premnaha, Pradur Bhave Bhavet Kramaha. So in this way, this taste leads to further forward, leads one further forward to the attachment for Krishna consciousness, which is matured in bhava, the preliminary stage of transcendental love of God. Real love of God is called prema, the highest perfectional stage of life. So in this way, within the path of bhakti also, there is gradual development. There are so many stages and sub-stages. So therefore, one who is who has accepted the path of bhakti, while he should not be attached to following the paths of karma, jnana, etc. But even within bhakti, one should act in a way which is suitable to the stage of bhakti he is in. So whatever is the stage of bhakti they are in, they should follow rules accordingly. Like say, for example, when it comes to hearing Krishna Katha and studying Krishna Katha, or reading Krishna Katha from Bhagavatam and other such, at the stage of Anartana Vritti, there are some sections which we are not supposed to exclusively study. Say, for example, the Rasa Panchadhyayi or the sections of Bhagavatam where the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, the intimate pastimes are described. We are not supposed to focus and study these poems very deeply if we are in the earlier stages of devotional service. So hearing and studying is one example where one has to understand that one should hear and study according to one's adhikar. So this is one example of how even within the limbs of devotional service, within the stages of devotional service, one should be careful as to what they can do, what they cannot do. And even in terms of deity worship, it is mentioned that before one reaches nishta and ruchi, as Prabhupada says, in the initial stages of devotional service, one should worship the deities of Radha Krishna and the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. Okay. This is an injunction for the initial stages. But when one clearly reaches the symptoms of nishta, ruchi, etc., then one need not continue to serve the deities in such an awe and reverential mood. So one should not prematurely try to accept a very intimate form of worship. At the same time, one need not continue that awe and reverential form of worship even after becoming qualified for the higher stages of devotion service. So this changes, like like hearing, chanting, deity worship. And it is mentioned in the Shastras that even in deity worship, the initial stages, the rules of Archana are very strongly followed, perfectly followed. But it is described in the Shastras that when one progresses to the higher stages of bhakti, then that deity worship takes a smaranatmika form. It's more smaranam based worship rather than archanam based worship. So like that, you know, this is you know, even within devotional service, this shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, etc., archanam, etc., you know, it changes and one needs proper guidance. Okay. There is a question in the chat box. Is it true that in the initial stages, we should conceive the Lord in the universal form given in Gita? I mean, here the question is, initial stages means what is initial? If you say initial is prior to coming to the stage of bhakti is initial, then probably yes. But even that is not compulsory. But if you define initial as adav shraddha, initial stages of devotional faith, then that is not needed. So it depends on how you define so it depends on how we define what is initial. If you say initial means prior to acquiring even devotional faith, then maybe yes. But if you define initial to mean early stages of devotional faith only, then that is not needed. Okay, there is another question in the chat box. Can you re-explain how archanam becomes smaranam? I mean, how exactly it happens is a science, right? It depends. When one devotionally matures more and more and develops a more intimate relationship with Krishna, when the intimacy increases, then one is no longer dependent on the rules about, oh, I should follow this rule, at this time I should give this and all that. Just like a nurse will try to follow the rules of the rule book as to how to take care of the child. Whereas a mother who has developed that affection for the child, she is not dependent on the rule book to, serve the child. She is constantly and very spontaneously always in the remembrance of the child, what the child wants, whether she has done it for the child or not. So her favorable, spontaneous devotional remembrance of the devotee of Krishna will drive him to serve the Lord. So that way, archana rupa means where rules and regulations govern. Smaranatmika means where one's natural remembrance of the Lord governs his services. So therefore, in that way, archana rupa bhakti naturally becomes smaranatmika bhakti. But one should not prematurely try to jump like that. Okay, so basically that is the point. When one progresses, then one should also be conscious, even within the stages of bhakti, one should be careful to follow those kind of rules which are appropriate for one's own level of progress, like that. Any other quick comments, discussion points? I think, Ruchi Mataji, you have asked the question in the chat box. Do you still want to raise your hands, or was that the question which was already addressed? If it has been addressed, you can put your hands down. If not, you can keep it up. Okay. Okay. Any other points? Anything anyone would like to share as add? You can please raise your hands. Okay, Hari Prasad Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, sir.
Prabhuji, is it the? I mean, I'm not sure if this question is will exactly come or not. But is it the same way karma people, karma mishra bhakti people go to jnana mishra bhakti, and from there they may pick up to karma people will go to jnana, In that way, they may slowly pick up to bhakti. Is it the same way that karma mishra bhakti, people will also go to jnana mishra bhakti and then they go to shuddha bhakti? Is it that way?
Karma to jnana is natural. Karma mishra bhakti to jnana mishra bhakti is natural. But to shuddha bhakti, it is not natural. I will mute you, Prabhu. There is a lot of disturbance behind you. So, karma to jnana is natural. Karma naturally matures to jnana. Karma mishra bhakti can mature to jnana mishra bhakti. Yes, that is also in one sense natural. But either of that will not naturally mature to shuddha bhakti, because shuddha bhakti needs the intervention of a shuddha bhakta. If that is not there, none of these limbs will naturally mature into shuddha bhakti. Okay. Yeah. Is archanam to smaranam gyration from Vaidhi to Raganuga? I mean, gradation. Did you mean gradation? Yeah, archanam to smaranam. Yeah, it is gradation from Vaidhi to Raganuga. Yeah. Yes, Mother Gail.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. I just want to confirm, when you were discussing the ladder, where karmakan, you know, the destination is the 14 planetary systems, Gyanakan is Brahmajyoti, and so on. So when you said Karmakan and Gyanakan, are those terms synonymous with Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga?
In this context, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because so they are used in... Yeah, that terminology can mean two different things. When you say karma kanda and karma yoga, then karma kanda is different from karma yoga. When you are talking about karma kanda, jnana kanda and bhakti, then that karma kanda includes karma kanda and karma yoga both. So, yeah, it depends on the context, the context of the usage of the terminology. The meaning will change. In this context, Karmakanda refers to Sakama Karma Yoga. Karmakanda and Sakama, Sakama Karma Yoga. Because that is, otherwise if you say Nishkama Karma Yoga, the goal of Nishkama Karma Yoga is liberation, Brahma Jyoti Yoga.
So, oh my goodness, sorry. Can you just repeat the first context in which you said that it means different things, karma kanda and karma yoga, or jnana kanda? What's an example of a context in which they mean different things?
For example, like if you are comparing karma kanda and nishkama karma yoga, they are different actually, because the goal is different. So
the goal of nishkam karma yoga is liberation, whereas karma kanda is just enjoyment in this world.
In this world, yes.
But anyway, there is some confusion. But anyway, I understand that these kanda and yoga may or may not be synonymous depending on the context.
Can you repeat your question, Madhuri?
Yeah. When we say karma kanda and when we say karma yoga, these two terms may or may not be synonymous depending on the context.
Correct.
And same for jnana kanda and jnana yoga.
No, they are synonymous.
Oh, those are synonymous.
Yeah. As far as I know, there may be alternative ways in which they are used, but I am not aware.
But as for karma kanda and karma yoga, those two, it depends.
It depends, yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Prabhu.
Hare. Okay, there is something else in the chat box. Yeah. I heard many scriptures start with Jnanakanda section and then slowly go to internal sections. Does it have any relation to karma, to jnana, to bhakti? No, karma to jnana, okay, but jnana to bhakti is a whole different thing. It is not direct. You know, there is, it is not, the yoga ladder does not mean karma will lead to jnana. Yes, that is true. But jnana will not directly lead to bhakti for sure. Like many scriptures almost follow 10 parts, like Bhagavatam. Is there any relation to one section qualifies to another? I mean, I don't know. Matlab, there are the early sections which make one qualify for the 10th topic of Ashraya. But is that, does it indicate a transition from karma to jnana to yoga? No, I don't think so. I mean, at least I don't know about other literatures, but certainly not Bhagavatam. Anyway. Okay, let's continue. In the process of sadhana bhakti, there are four stages: Shraddha, Nishtha, Ruchi, and Asakti. So he is clubbing Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, and Anartha Nivritti. Because if you have faith, the symptom of faith is Sadhu Sangha. And if you come in Sadhu Sangha, naturally you will do some Bhajana Kriya. And if you do Bhajana Kriya, you will naturally have Anartha Nivritti. So therefore, he is clubbing these four into one. That is Shraddha, then Nishtha, then Ruchi, then Asakti. Right? After passing these four stages, one comes to the level of Bhava, which is the doorstep of Prema. According to the degree of faith, each level has different rules. Like we saw in the case of Shravanam, in this case of Archanam, in the case of even, Kirtanam, you know, there are some aspects of Kirtanam, like very silent chanting, you know, of the holy names and all. In the early stages of, devotional service, where Anartha Nivritti is not accomplished in a significant way, you know, actually loud chanting is very highly recommended. But the upamshu and the semi-audible and inaudible aspects of chanting the holy name are actually, when one becomes very significant, one has significantly overcome the anarthas, then those things can be practiced. So in one sense, even though there may not be very clear demarcations as between karma and bhakti, or karma and jnana, or jnana and bhakti, but the demarcations between these levels, what can be done at what, is not so clear demarcations, but they are very suggestive demarcations as to what you can study, what you cannot study, at what stage. If anyone wants a very exhaustive description of this topic, where at what stage of devotional service, what we can hear, what we can study, what we cannot study, and all that, I would suggest that you study the book called as Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani by His Holiness Shivram Swami Maharaj. In the last section of this book, he talks about reading and hearing according to one's adhikar. So this is a very exhaustive presentation and a very systematic presentation. You can refer to it. This is some reference material I'm suggesting to you. So according to the degree of faith, each level has different rules. So we are discussing Niyamagraha. As one leaves behind one level and progresses to the next, he should honor the rules of the latter and leave aside those of the former. This is the point. If you move from one step to the other step, then we should accept the rules of the latter and give up the rules of the former. That is the point that is being discussed here. So, those who do not give up the rules of the previous level are bound by those rules like chains that do not allow him to proceed to the next level. So if you do not give up the rules of the previous level, then you will not progress to the next level. That is the point. In the process of devotional service, whatever rules are prescribed for each level are all subordinate to one principal rule. Smartavya satatam vishnor vismartavyo na jatuchit sarve vidhi nishedasyur etayoreva kinkara. Remembering Krishna is the eternal duty. All other prescriptions mentioned in the Shastras have arisen from this main prescription. Forgetting Krishna is never allowed. All other prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras have arisen from this main prohibition. So, even when one progresses from Shraddha to Nishta to Ruchi to Asakti to Prema, there are specific rules, but there is one very foundational rule which governs all these rules, parent rule, which is Smartavya Satatam Vishnor Vismartavyo na Jatuchit. Sarve vidhi nishedasyur etayor eva kunkara. No, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. I will give you an example. Okay, this is the governing rule. It is mentioned that the very intimate pastimes of Krishna with the gopis are actually so purifying. Hridrogamashu apahinoti achirena dira. It is mentioned in the Falashruti of the Rasa Panchadhyay, you know, the five chapters describing the Rasa Leela, that it destroys all the anarthas. The lust is destroyed from the heart, right? And one is able to very clearly remember Krishna. But this is for those who I have at least crossed Nishta Ruchi. Whatever residual anarthas are there, that are gone. Okay. This is not talking about the grosser anarthas. What is the proof? If you read those sections, we can ask ourselves, are we able to remember Krishna in a very favorable devotional way? Or are we more troubled by material thoughts, right? So this is the principle. Smartavya satatam Vishnu. At different levels of devotional service, different things will aid our remembrance of Krishna more. And at other stages, the same can hinder our remembrance of Krishna. For example, if we read the intimate pastimes of Krishna with the gopis in the anartha nivritti stage of our devotional service, rather than aiding our remembrance of Krishna, it will hinder our remembrance of Krishna. But the same discussion of the Rasa Panchadhyayi by very elevated devotees will very quickly aid their remembrance of Krishna. So therefore, if there is no specific clarity in terms of which devotional rule I need to follow at my current stage of devotional service, the generic guidance is Smartavya Satatam Vishnor Vismartavyo na Jatuchit. whether your performance of that particular limb of devotional service or that particular aspect of devotional service is aiding your remembrance of Krishna or hindering your remembrance of Krishna. So that is a generic principle by which we can understand whether we are performing activities according to our adhikar or not according to our adhikar, like that. Okay, so keeping this main prescription in mind while advancing, the practitioner should give up his attachment for the prescriptions of the previous level and accept the prescriptions of the next level. Otherwise, he will be guilty of niyamagraha and weak in reaching the next level. He'll be very weak because he is not willing to give up his attachment to the rules of the previous level. The practitioner of devotional service must always remember this point. Don't be attached to the rules of the previous level. And don't be over eager to perform rules of the higher level without becoming qualified. Okay. So in the conclusion of Hari Bhakti Vilas, a special instruction is given in this regard. Krityani etani tu prayo grihinam dhaninam satam likitani natu tyakta parigraha mahatmanam. So he says that whatever activities are written in Hari Bhakti Vilas are mostly all meant for householders and rich devotees. There are no rules written for the renunciates, which means renunciates are not governed by rules. Renunciates are governed by taste. Rules are needed for those who do not have taste. Right? Say, for example, children, for the growth of children, let's say, eating bitter gourd is very good. So, instructions to eat bitter gourd is needed for those who do not like bitter gourd. But some children may have a natural liking for bitter gourd. Right? So, such children are governed by taste. They are not governed by rules. You don't have to give a rule. You should eat bitter gourd. They'll say, give me one more cup. Right? So, there are no rules written for the renunciates because the renunciates are covered by taste. I mean, those are qualified renunciates. We are not talking about those who are unqualified. Also, in the conclusion of Hari Bhakti Vilas, it is stated, avashyam tani sarvani tesham tad ritva siddhaye prab apekshani bhaktirhi sadacharaika sadhana. Although the rules for renunciates are avoided in this book, still renunciates should follow those rules in order to perfect their position. You know, still, it is understood that they will naturally follow these rules. Okay, they will naturally follow these rules. If they are not able to naturally follow them, then which means they are probably not qualified to be in the order of renunciation. Right? The behavior exhibited by the renunciate sadhus is proper behavior in this connection. That alone is to be followed. The first symptom of one who has attained a Shraddha. So now we are going to discuss symptom of each stage. Okay. I will pause for a while to see if there are any quick discussion points, comments or questions here. Anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Before we move ahead. Okay. If there is none, then we will continue. How much time do we have? We have about 14 minutes time. Let's see what we can complete. How will they afford if they are renunciates? I don't understand the question, Madam. I mean, is there a typing mistake? So please check your spelling before you press the enter key. I mean, how will they afford if they are renunciates? I don't understand the question at all. Yes.
Prabhuji, actually, my question is, if the rules of Hari Bhakti Vilasa are for rich devotees and householders, how can renunciates follow those rules? Because they won't have the means to follow it.
That is why it is not meant for them.
Then what are the rules which they are supposed to follow?
That's why I said they are governed by taste. They are not governed by rules. True renunciants are governed by taste, ruchi. They don't need rules.
No, but then you
said those rules are for those who do not have natural taste.
Yeah, but then you said that renunciates should also still follow rules. So what are the rules which they should follow?
I mean, these generic rules, they are expected to follow not as rules, but just to check whether they are qualified for renunciation. If they don't have natural taste for Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc., then what? Then they are not supposed to be in that renounced order. Because what a sadhaka is following according to rules, a person in the perfected position is supposed to follow out of a natural taste. So if they don't have that natural taste, then probably they are in the wrong order.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Anything else before we move ahead? Okay. If there is none, we will continue. Okay. So now he starts. The first symptom of one who has attained Shraddha is surrender to the feet of Krishna. So this is the first symptom of Shraddha. Adav Shraddha. Surrender to the feet of Krishna. That surrender is of two types. One for the householders and another for the renunciates. Shri Hari Bhakti Vilas mentions only those rules that are meant for the householders. That is why observances such as Shiva Chaturdashi are given therein. And of course, Prabhupada said, you don't have to follow Hari Bhakti Vilas. It is not for you. So he said, because this is not practically possible. Prabhupada said, if you study Hari Bhakti Vilas, then you will not even come out of the bathroom because the rules are so strict like that. The surrendered renunciate should follow whichever observances are appropriate for renunciates. But what exactly they are is not exactly given here. Both the householder and the renunciate become unalloyed surrendered souls while advancing on the path of sadhana. Then their rules are only slightly different. Right? So they both of them, if they follow the path of sadhana properly, both of them will become unalloyed surrendered souls. So if they become unalloyed surrendered souls, then the rules are only slightly different. You know, there is not much difference between the early stages and the later stages. At that stage, they attain ultimate surrender due to advancement in sadhana. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Hari Bhakti Vilas, and Srimad Bhagavatam 18th chapter and the 20th chapter, it is mentioned, Jnana Nishto Viraktova Madbhaktova Anapekshakaha Salingam Ashramam Stekva Charet Avidigosara. A learned transcendentalist dedicated to the cultivation of knowledge. This is Jnana Nishta, one who has Jnana Adhikar. Viraktova, and thus detached from the external objects. Madbhaktova, either a Jnana Yogi or a qualified Bhakti Yogi. Anapekshakaha, who is detached even from the desire for liberation. Salingan Ashramam Tekva. They both neglect those duties based on external rituals or paraphernalia, which is the Varnashrama duties. The Varnashrama duties are rejected by both those who are qualified for Jnana and those who are qualified for Bhakti. Avidhi Gochara. Thus, their conduct is beyond the range of rules and regulations. Here, rules and regulations means rules and regulations of Varnashrama. But they are conducted by rules and regulations of Bhakti. are in this case, in the case of the Jnana Yogis, they are conducted by the rules and regulations of Jnana Yoga. So just like if someone has passed his third standard, okay, and he has become qualified for fourth standard. So if in his school bag he still has third standard books, then someone will say, oh, you don't need them anymore. The meaning is that you don't need third standard books anymore. That does not mean he does not need books at all, right? So therefore, if you say that a devotee is avidhi gochara, he is not controlled by the rules and regulations, it means that he is not controlled by the rules and regulations of the Dharma Shastras, which talk in terms of Varnashrama duties. They are not controlled by that. But avidhi gochara does not mean that they give up the rules and regulations of Bhakti Shastras also. Okay. So one should follow the rules and regulations of Bhakti Shastra. One is dependent on them till one becomes qualified for Raganuga Bhakti. Then they are avidhi gochara. Then they are conducted by ruchi, taste. So when they are conducted by ruchi, then there is no dependence on rules and regulations, because they are conducted by a more powerful stimulus in the form of taste. Vidhi is a very weak stimulus, rules and regulations. Taste is a very powerful stimulus, right? Children may not like to go to school. So they have to be forced to go to school. There are rules and regulations which go on. Okay. They will go, but they may go very reluctantly, not so enthusiastically. So there is a potential for rules and regulations. It has a way of stimulating people to do things. But children like to play. As soon as they come back home, you don't have to tell them, you have to go out and play today. Without your telling anything, they will automatically run out and play. So when one reaches the stage of taste or ruchi, then they are no longer controlled by the rules, but they will follow the rules automatically. That is the point. So out of a natural taste, they will naturally follow the rules, but they are not dependent on the rules. They will not do it because of the rules. They will do it because of taste. But in doing it because of taste, automatically the rules are also followed. That is the point. Okay. So at the stage of ruchi, there is no dependence on rules. There is a difference between dependence on, so such people are not dependent on rules, but it's not that they don't follow the rules. They do follow the rules. That is the point. So he has, okay, there are a few more points, but I think we are running out of time. I will take one more verse here, which is substantiating the same point from Bhagavatam. He says, Ekantitam gatanantu Shri Krishna charanabjayoho bhakti swata pravrteta tad vignaikim vratadibihi. He says, when one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, Ekantitam gatanam tu Shri Krishna charanabjayoho bhakti. When one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, then devotion swataha pravrteta is spontaneously established in his heart. Kim vratadibihi, what then is the need to observe rituals? Tad vignaihi, that simply obstruct one's devotional service. So therefore, rules, the moment you develop taste, rules become an obstruction. They are no longer, they will become an obstruction, because he is conducted by a more powerful stimulus of taste. So rules will become an obstruction. He does not need the assistance of the rule. Rather, the rules in themselves will become an obstruction. Like that. So basically, we are discussing Niyamagraha, where what is a Niyama at the stage of at the stage of Vaidhi Bhakti is no need to follow it at the stage of Raganuga. Ruchi Mataji, you are raising your hands, but your internet signal is poor, so we are not able to hear you properly. So you can please type your question. If the question that you have typed, you know, about, I have already answered. So I have already answered this question. Just now I answered it. So conducted by taste, if one is conducted by taste, one will not follow the rules and regulations. He will follow it even more perfectly out of taste. I have already told that. Yeah, he will follow it already out of taste. Okay. I think we will pause here and continue this discussion next week. Oh, actually, next week I'll be traveling, and next Wednesday, most likely, I will not be able to take the session. But I will update this to you when we are close to Wednesday. But 99%, it looks like it will be difficult for me to have this session next week. But I will update you. So next week will most likely be an off week. But I will keep you updated. So we will pause here. And thank you very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion next week or the week after that. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai, Sri Bhakti Aloka ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.